Visit worldwildlife.org.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome, tokers and tokettes. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio. Phone lines are open, 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. If you're joining us a little later, you may have noticed the 420 Radio page looks quite different. I'm making a lot of changes here. And one of the changes, it looks like I disconnected the wrong encoder. Let's reconnect that. But one of the changes is that we've got a new national streaming backbone, so to speak. We got engineers back there working for us, and that's why there's a new player up on the 420 Radio site. That's with our national player. It's got some national advertising. You may have heard those ads at the beginning of the hour. That'll help us to defray some of the expenses and make a little money here at 420 Radio. So that's the new setting there that you may have been wondering about. We're still also on TuneIn Radio and Stitcher and all those other outlets as well. So I just accidentally disconnected, I think, the TuneIn Radio people. Sorry about that. But a lot of things going on here as we transition and move into 2016. The Russ Belville Show will be moving to CannabisRadio.com eventually once that live stream exists. But 420 Radio will also still exist, replaying the best of activist podcasts from around the country. So you'll actually have two sources to get your cannabis information by the time all of this is said and done. Now I want to finish up this segment with that MPP thing, being neutral on legalization. And this is something that's really gotten under my craw here because, well, at the national level, there's just sometimes that I get a little upset at some of the leadership in the national level. This began 10 years ago. I got into activism 10 years ago, and I came into it with a very, shall we say, tilter attitude, treat it like tomatoes attitude, like knowing that cannabis is the wonderful plant that it is, and it's should be embraced and celebrated, and it ought to be as legal as possible. And so I would get frustrated in the early days when the national folks would tell me about incrementalism, about how I would get upset because we're going for, why are we doing this medical marijuana thing? And this medical marijuana, just helping a few people, man, this is bullshit. Yeah, yeah, Russ, but we have to win our battles. We have to get a little gain and then move forward and get a little, baby steps. We got to take baby steps. We got to make sacrifices. You can't get the perfect legalization that we want. We have to have just medical. And even then, we can't have the perfect medical that we want We have to compromise there as well, too. We have to have patient registries. We have to have a condition list of certain conditions. And then we have to restrict how many plants people can grow. But now that we're going more east, we got to restrict it even more. We got to have just a few growers and only dispensaries. You can't grow your plants at home. And lately, MPP has been putting together halo rules. You know, you can't grow marijuana if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary. Like, for me, to have someone who supported an organization that supported a 25-mile halo rule in Arizona and something similar in Massachusetts in the medical marijuana they passed there, something that guarantees a sick person who's trying to just grow plants for their own health care is a criminal if he does so, if he lives within 25 miles of a dispensary where he could go shop and buy weed. How is that not some sort of pledge to capitalism that actually puts patients' lives on the line? So for the 25-mile halo people to be complaining that the responsible Ohio thing is a money grab? Excuse me? Wow, how do you walk with balls that big? It's just unbelievable to me. All this incrementalism, all of this compromise, all of us cannabis consumers having to wait for every single iteration of depenalization, decriminalization, medical marijuana, and now we finally get our shot at legalization in Ohio in 2015, and MPP wants to say, oh, no, no, wait, no. No, this isn't good enough. We need true legalization. The people who've been putting down the true legalizers for decades now as being unrealistic, who didn't recognize the political realities that ballot initiatives cost money and you have to have money for a campaign and sometimes you have to make compromises with the people who fund the campaigns in order to get legalization. Well, now that that's happened in Ohio, now that someone's come up with the money in Ohio, now that some compromises have been made in Ohio that legalization can happen, you want to be neutral on it. All right, well, MPP was wrong on this one, just like they were wrong in 2014 when they told us here in Oregon that we shouldn't go for legalization in 2014. Actually, in 2013, they told us that. We shouldn't go in 2014. It's bound to only get 49% of the vote, they told us. They told us it would be a bad idea, and if we went for it in 2014, they would cut us off in 2016. They were wrong then. They're wrong now.
Don't touch that dial. We're right back to Radical Russ in just a few minutes. Hey, does anybody really have a dial anymore? You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
All right, from one O state to another, we're going to take out of Ohio for a little bit and head back here to Oregon. Talking about first legal recreational sales. They start tomorrow, 10 a.m. at numerous locations. I'll tell you where I'll be, and other folks like Charlo Green, Sid Maurer, and Anthony Johnson, and our own Herb Thrasher. Plus, we'll give you the rules for Oregon recreational sales. I got the document from the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Liquor Control Commission explaining exactly what is legal starting tomorrow.
This is Lori Duckworth, and I'm here with the Hempery, Greta Gaines Company, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
As a police officer, I walked the beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Welcome back, everyone. Toker Talk Radio here from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Live from Rolla J Studios every weekday, 3 p.m. Pacific. Catch the replays at 6 p.m., 3 a.m., and 6 a.m. on 420radio.org. But get your bookmark set to CannabisRadio.com because we'll be moving to CannabisRadio.com very soon. I don't know how soon, but we'll find out how soon. And I'll tell you.
Lately I try to fall asleep, but I struggle. I tell you you're the missing piece.
That's music from Revolution with Route Around. And promised we'd come back here to Oregon. Before we talk about the Oregon legalization, we got a call on the line from the 502 area code. You're on the air with Toker Talk Radio. What's up?
Hey, man, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Is this Russ?
This is Russ. You're on the air.
It's Russ?
Yes.
Hey, man, I'm the guy that sent you that NTSB study.
Oh, yes, yes, National Traffic Safety Board study. I haven't gotten a chance to dig into it yet.
Yeah, it's from the National Transportation Safety Board. It's really about toxicology findings of general aviation pilots over a 25-year period.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that come across, and I want to dig into that data. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I tell you what, it's kind of involved. So I think I'd really like to talk more about the effects drug testing has on the overdose rate.
Oh, yes, yes.
Remember I talked to you about that too, and I sent you that other picture?
Yeah, and that's something, you know, you've been making some very compelling arguments about that. And I've always said that, you know, there's a natural human desire to want to get high in some way. And if you take away the natural ways, people will use the artificial ways, and those are the ones that'll kill you. Your data is a real good backup for that idea of mine.
Well, yeah, I think that you know, drug testing is actually the single biggest mistake of the entire drug war.
I'm with you there.
Because what really
I was going to say, drug testing is the whole reason I'm here. I had an information technology career, and then drug testing put me here. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, so, Russell, you're a basketball fan?
Yeah.
I live in Louisville, okay? Do you remember the story of Shane Bohannon?
I don't.
He's one of our basketball players. Well, he failed a drug test. We won the national championship in 2012. We had the best team in 2013. Our best player gets kicked off the team.
Mm-hmm.
One drug test cost him $50 million, $10 million that the government won't pay in taxes, that he won't pay in taxes. How much do you think your drug test costs the government?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Who knows? At least $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year? You make that much less now, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to get into your finances, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I make at least half or less than what I used to make in the IT career, for sure.
Well, I'm an airline pilot, or ex-airline pilot, and I failed a drug test in 2004 when I flew for UPS. Okay? And I can prove that the drug testing program's amazingly counterproductive. You know, as you know, you already know that, because cannabis works the same on a pilot or a police officer or a soldier or anybody else. It's safer. So people that think drug testing for it's a good idea, no, you're always creating a bias to use alcohol, pharmaceuticals, because of lengthy detection time and the fact that there's no prescription for it.
Right.
Right? Synthetics, all these things are increased by drug testing.
Yeah, in fact, in the West, what we found is that the biggest increase in arrests in the FBI Uniform Crime Report is for synthetic drugs. It went up by like 25,000 possession arrests in the West. And, you know, I attribute that to being, you know, marijuana becomes legal in some of these states, but you still can lose your job for it. So a lot of people will turn to the synthetic thinking it's going to be the same high.
Right. I read a test, too. They tested a bunch of people on probation. 100% of them were negative for the standard drug test, and they went back in and tested for synthetics, and half of them tested positive.
Sure.
So we're incentivizing people to use more dangerous drugs through the drug testing. It's only going to continue. There's this drug now called Flacca. I don't know if you've heard of that. Gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's even more dangerous. It doesn't show up on a drug test.
And there's a whole host of hallucinogens that have all sorts of, you know, chemical and acronym names that I've never even heard of before. But that's the point, is that, you know, it's an arms race. No matter what you test for, some chemist is going to tweak the molecule that'll beat the test.
Exactly. We're incentivizing mad scientists to make greater concoctions that are more dangerous because we just can't accept people want to use safer cannabis.
Yeah, it's a shame, man. It's a total shame. We're gonna change it, Russ.
We're changing it, man. You're changing it. I'm changing it.
Well, yeah, and part of changing it is not just changing the law, though, but also changing the culture and the attitude, because, you know, we've changed the law here in Oregon, but I can still be fired for marijuana metabolites, and that's because of a cultural feeling. And it's also ingrained a lot into the economics of it, where these companies will get insurance breaks if they do drug testing and so forth.
Which is really the government incentivizing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly.
Which makes it unconstitutional.
Well, yeah, and that's a whole other can of worms there, talking about the constitutionality of some of these things. I mean, we're supposed to be free from self-incrimination, but what is a P-test but self-incrimination?
Well, on the whole basis, if you go back and you look at the history of it, when I sent you that chart about the history, if you look at that chart, what it really shows is that prohibition of marijuana didn't really have a lot of teeth until we started drug testing everybody.
Yep.
And then it really did decrease marijuana use. And what happened is people went to the doctors, they got Xanax pills and all kinds of other pills, and the overdose rate skyrocketed.
And you know, the other...
We're living with a government that's not willing to admit that they made a mistake by doing it.
Yeah.
And we have to bring down the drug test or change it to where it shows, you know, it's a reasonable test and shows impairment like an alcohol test.
Yep, and there's another correlation that I saw with your... the data graph that you sent, and that is, if you look at the marijuana arrests in America, it went from about 100,000 to about 400,000 in Nixon's time. But after Nixon, it stayed plateaued at about 400,000 a year all the way up until Clinton. You get that 1992 Clinton, and like you show, the beginning of the real drug testing industry, as well as the advent of drug courts, those marijuana arrests doubled.
Right. Well, Clinton's as much to blame as anybody. The 100,000 more cops on the street, that increased the marijuana risk. I can't believe it went up again this year, you know?
That's crazy. Yeah, not just marijuana, but all other drugs as well. There were 60,000 more possession arrests this year, 10,000 more marijuana possession arrests. But marijuana manufacturing arrests actually went down. It was the only category that went down. All other drug categories went up.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, I really think one of the biggest arguments that we have to get across is in exactly what happened to you, to me, Shane Bahana, Ricky Williams. He remember the player
Sid Maurer.
I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he got kicked out of the NFL. He would have been. He could have made it.
Unbelievable.
Sorry about that. The 420 bell has gone off on us here.
Oh.
Tom, thanks for
720 here.
Yeah, thanks for being us here on our 420 Pacific time, 720 in the East. Thank you for your call, and we'll be talking more about this drug testing on future episodes.
Right, we'll do. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, it's 420. Light them if you got them.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest-growing business association in the fastest-growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Well, stay tuned later tonight at 8 p.m. for Gordon Green's Music Planet. It's our hour-long salute to the best of music throughout the world. Gordon's always got a great show for you on Irie Wednesdays. Normally, he'd be calling in to introduce the next tune, but unfortunately, he can't call in today, but did send ahead a great track from one of the best beat poets out there. This is Linton Kwesi Johnson with Five Nights of Bleeding.
Madness. Madness, madness tight on the heads of the rebels. The bitterness erupts like a hot blast. Broke glass, ritual of blood on the burning. Served by a cruel and fighting. Five nights of horror and of bleeding. Broke glass, gold blades as sharp as the highs of hate and the stabbings. It's war amongst the rebels. Madness, madness, war. Night number one was in Brixton. Soprano B sound system was a beating out a rhythm with a fire. Coming down his reggae, reggae wire. It was a sound shaking down your spinal column. A bad music tearing up your flesh. And the rebels them start a fighting. The youth them just burn high. It's war. The rebels, madness, madness, war. Night number two down at Shepherd's, right up Railton Road. It was a night named Friday when everyone was high on brew or drew. A pound or two worth of Cali. Sound coming down Never King's music iron. The rhythm just bubbling and backfiring. Raging and rising, when suddenly the music cut. Steel blade drinking blood in darkness. It's war amongst the rebels. Madness, madness, war. Night number three, over the river, right outside the rainbow. Inside, James Brown was screaming soul. Outside, the rebels were freezing cold. Babylonian tyrants descended, pounced on the brothers who were bold. So with a flick of the wrist, a jab and a stab, the song of blades was sounded. The pile of oppression was committed, and two policemen wounded. Righteous, righteous war. Night number four at a blues dance. A blues dance. Two rooms packed and the pressure pushing up. Hot, hot heads.
ritual of blood in a blues dance. Broke glass, splintering fire, axes blaze, brain blast. Rebellion rushing down the wrong road. Storm blowing down the wrong tree. And Leroy bleeds near death on the fourth night. In a blues dance, on a black, rebellious night. Madness, madness, war. Night number five at the telegraph. Vengeance walk through the doors. So slow, so smooth, and so tight and ripe and smash. Broke glass, a bottle finds a head and the shell of the fire hurt cracks. The victim feels fear, finds hands, holds knife, finds throat. Stabbings and the bleeding and the blood. It's war amongst the rebels. Madness, madness, war.
.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Thursdays at noon Pacific for Harm Reduction Radio, podcasting at hamsnetwork.com. This series interviews experts in the addictions field with a focus on evidence-based, cutting-edge approaches to substance abuse problems. Check our online listings for Harm Reduction Radio with Kenneth Anderson from hamsnetwork.com. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Folks, that's the Easy Star All-Stars with Time, one of their versions of Time. The classic Pink Floyd track, of course, from Dark Side of the Moon. Is it weird thinking that Dark Side of the Moon is 42 years old? Ooh. All right, so legal sales begin tomorrow here in the state of Oregon. And I have the regulations that have been handed down by the Oregon Health Authority, their information bulletin for 2015. September 10th is the date from Stephen Wagner. And this is Oregon Health Authority is the bureaucracy in charge of the medical marijuana dispensaries that were legalized in 2013 through a legislative statute. We didn't even pass. In fact, we tried to pass initiatives to get dispensaries in 2004 and 2010, and they both lost decisively by about the same amount, like 44%, something like that. But the legislature finally succumbed in 2013 and came up with our dispensary system. And I'm glad they did, because had we had no dispensary system, we might not have early sales, a place to buy at. So at least we've got these existing dispensaries. But they gave out this this memo to all the existing dispensaries so they'd know what the rules were. So here it is. On October 1st, the dispensaries can sell to individuals 21 years or older if they show a government ID. And they must notify the dispensary program 5 or more days before starting retail sales in order to sell to all adults. On or before September 24th, a form will be available online. Well, okay, September 24th is 7 days before, and you're telling them they have to have it in 5 or more days before starting sales on the 1st. So they'd had to have it in last Friday was the day they could turn it in, I guess. Maybe they got the form out earlier than that. I don't know. But that seems like kind of a tiny little window to get your notice in. Now, they also note that if a dispensary is located in a city or county that has adopted an ordinance prohibiting retail sales or early retail sales of marijuana, the dispensary is not eligible to participate. For a list of the cities and counties that have opted out, see the list at mmj.oregon.gov, which we will pull up right now, because that list has grown since I've last reported it to you about how many of these places are banning. Local government list of cities and counties that have adopted ordinances opting out. Marijuana dispensary program opt-outs. And let's just open this guy up and take a look. So in the state of Oregon, currently, the cities that are prohibiting registered medical dispensaries and early retail sales include... Okay, now this is a little confusing. Let me look at it for a second. Have local options. Okay, so some of these places have medical dispensaries but aren't going to allow early sales or are going to prohibit early sales, which seems redundant, but let's get to it. So, for example, in the city of Gresham, which is east of us here in Portland, they are prohibiting early retail sales, but not prohibiting dispensaries. So if you live in Gresham, you think you're going to go to your local dispensary. No, they're not going to sell to recreational consumers. Another couple of cities, La Grande and Lapine, are prohibiting retail sales, early sales, but don't prohibit dispensaries. So there may be dispensaries in La Grande and Lapine, but you're not going to get to buy at them. Reedsport on the coast. Same deal, prohibiting early retail sales. Scappoose and Sherwood. Scappoose is just north of Portland. Sherwood is south of Portland, both prohibiting early retail sales, but not dispensaries. Tangent is prohibiting early retail sales. And Linn County is prohibiting early retail sales. That's on top of the fact that a lot of places just outright ban dispensaries. And so if there's no dispensary, it doesn't matter whether they've banned early retail sales. Although some of these places have done both. By God, there shall be no dispensaries and there shall not be any early retail sales at the places that do not exist. Okay. You've made really sure. So those places include, well, the double bans, the double bans are in Douglas County and Harney County. And then the rest of the counties that are just banning dispensaries,
but didn't go to the trouble of prohibiting the early retail sales at the dispensaries that don't exist, are Crook County, Klamath, Malheur, Marion, Morrow, Umatilla, and Wheeler counties. City-wise, I should say, the double bans, places that are banning dispensaries and early retail sales that can't happen at those dispensaries that don't exist, are Brownsville and Burns, John Day, no surprise there, Junction City, and Sweet Home. The rest of the cities that just ban medical dispensaries include Adrian, Baker City, Canyon City, Cresswell, Dayville, Grants Pass, Ione, Jordan Valley, Manzanita, Nyssa, Ontario, Sandy, Sutherland, Umatilla City, and Vail. So yeah, early retail sales start tomorrow in Portland and in Eugene and maybe Salem. You know? So it's a mixed bag what we're getting here is what I'm trying to tell you. But we knew that getting into it. Another thing that the Oregon Health Authority wants to point out is delivery or courier services are not allowed. No delivery services, no courier services. And they've got a final rule and posters that you can download because you have to put some signage up. They got official posters that you got to put up. And one of them is that, we'll get to that poster. That's coming up a little bit later in this list. But general requirements. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting, right? Because the medical side doesn't really have any sort of tracking going on at this point, as far as, you know, the patients and all. They're limited to buying their 24 ounces, right? They can buy a pound and a half, but nobody's saying who bought what and where and how many jelly beans, right? The growers, you know, which grower supplied it and so on. But it's a very minimal tracking system compared to something like you'd see in Colorado or Washington at this point. So they make these general requirements. And the first one, only a quarter ounce of dried leaves and flour may be purchased by a retail customer in one day. Okay, so is that saying at a store, one store can only sell me a quarter ounce in a day? Or is that one person may only be buying in a day? I think it's the former. I think it means a store is responsible for only selling a quarter ounce to you that day. But you could go to any number of stores. They also point out there's no limit on the number or amount of seeds that can be sold to a customer. Now it gets interesting. A medical marijuana dispensary may only sell 4 immature marijuana plants to the same individual between October 1st, 2015 and December 31st, 2016. The way I'm reading that, it says when I buy my 4 seedlings from the local dispensary, that's it. That's all I, as a recreational consumer, will ever be able to buy plant-wise from that particular dispensary. Same individual between October 1, 2015 and December 31, 2016. Now, later on here, they say requirements for documentation. Dispensary is not required to document the name of a retail customer to whom marijuana products are sold. But they must develop a written policy that outlines the steps it will take to ensure no more than the allowed amount of retail product is sold to one person in a day. Well, how are you going to say to the Oregon Health Authority, you only sold Russ Belville a quarter ounce that day if you don't take Russ Belville's name? are we going to get issued numbers or cards or vouchers or chits or something? How's it? Purple finger like in Afghanistan when they vote, right? What are they going to do? What they do have to keep track of is the type of product sold, the amount of product sold, the birth date of the customer, the sale price, and the date of the sale. So how are they realistically going to keep track of whether or not I've gone into that dispensary when it first opened at 8 in the morning and bought a quarter ounce, and then I come in at 8 at night before they close with a whole different shift there? How are they not going to... they're going to have to keep my name somehow, aren't they, to be able to comply with that? So telling them that they're not required to document my name, but then setting up a requirement that can only be fulfilled by taking my name hardly makes it voluntary on their part. All right. And the thing about the 4 plants, my God, How is this dispensary going to keep track of for the next 15 months that Russ Belville purchased his four plants here without taking my name? They're going to have to take my name at some point. They also point out that concentrates, extracts, edibles, topicals, and other marijuana products may only be sold to patients and caregivers, not recreational consumers. Free giveaways, samples, or otherwise giving or sharing marijuana products other than the limited marijuana products listed above to retail customers is not allowed inside or outside the dispensary. Government ID must be checked to make sure you're 21. And then starting January 4th, there'll be a 25% tax. We already knew that. Now, the signage. They have to put signage out front. A required dispensary must post the applicable signs in bold 80-point Times New Roman typeface and affix to the exterior of the dispensary in a conspicuous location that can easily be seen by the public from outside the dispensary at any point of public entry. Ha! Okay, 80-point font is a little bigger than an inch, letters that are about an inch tall. So, if it's a medical-only place, they have to have a sign that says medical marijuana patients only. If they're also going to do early sales, they all have to have a sign that says medical marijuana patients and persons 21 and older permitted and no person under 21 permitted on the premises without an OMMP card. How about persons 21 and older and medical marijuana patients permitted? That would be a lot smaller sign. And it would accomplish the same thing. Now, they've also got this pregnancy. This has gotten some controversy here. This pregnancy poster, a pregnancy warning and poisoning prevention poster, 22x17, that has to be posted in the point of sale. And this is the one that says, we don't know if marijuana is going to do terrible, awful things to your baby. You shouldn't smoke because we don't know. It's going to be terribly awful. And an educate by red before you recreate flyer, 22x17 flyer. That's basically, you know, what's legal. You know, you can have an ounce, you can have your four plants, and a marijuana information card, 3.5x5, that has to be given to each person at the point of sale. So we got to take a little piece of paper with us too. So that's what's happening for Oregon's early marijuana sales. They begin October 1st. That's tomorrow, 10 a.m. We will be at Canisea covering the event live. You can follow me at Radical Russ on Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, SoundCloud. Did I get them all? LinkedIn. Instagram. I've got Instagram now. I finally got Radical Russ Instagram. Thanks for sticking with me, folks. A lot of changes coming up, and it's all for the better, I assure you. We'll be back right after this.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
This is Joy Beckerman-Maher, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade, supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido.
Welcome back, everybody. Music from Manu Chao with Clandestino. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show's Toker Talk Radio, live here on 420radio.org. A lot of big changes happening in the 420 Radio family. You can see the website, some changes there on the website. We've got a new, stream support. We got new stream support that provides me more exposure, provides 420 Radio more exposure in more places, gives us some better technology on the back end as far as supporting our operations, and these new players that have some ad embeds in that will help us raise some money. So that's what's going on the front page, 420radio.org. And I know this is troublesome for some people when I make these changes, and I don't do it lightly because I know switching things around, it can be difficult. But I assure you that what we're doing here is all about giving you the best experience we possibly can. If you're missing the video window, just head over to RadicalRust.com. That's where the video window will be from now on, because it is really just a window for the Russ Belville Show. I don't use the video window for anything else on 420 Radio, so what's the point? Trying to make a clearer distinction between the Russ Belville Show, which will be on CannabisRadio.com, and 420 Radio, which will be the network that carries all these other shows. So make that clear as we go on, and hope that you can stick with us through the transition. Now, while we were on break, I downloaded the posters that are required to be displayed at the medical marijuana dispensaries, now that us healthy potheads will be going and shopping there. The one that's Educate Before You Recreate is a pretty good one. You got to be 21. It's got kind of like the Brady Bunch. It's got the 9 boxes, like a tic-tac-toe, right? And there's a little icon, you know, emoji, whatever, in each one of those. 21 plus, you got to be 21 and older. October 1, you can buy at medical dispensaries. You can possess 8 ounces at home, 1 ounce outside the home. You can grow 4 plants per residence out of public view. Driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal. Please be responsible. You can use recreational marijuana at home or on private property. Public use is illegal. You can make edible products at home or receive them as a gift and can only use them on private places. And then there's one that is interesting. You can't take marijuana in or out of the state. That includes Washington, which is true. Washington's got legal weed. Oregon's got legal weed. They share a 400-mile border, but you can't take weed across that border. Although people have, for months now, they've been going to Vancouver and buying the weed and bringing it across the border. But something new popped up when I was flying this weekend to Boston. And that was, I got to the Portland airport and there was a new sign there that informed, that said, carrying recreational marijuana on flights outside of Oregon is illegal. Now, that had never been there before, and indeed, many medical marijuana patients and some folks who aren't patients have been pretty brazen about taking weed on the airplane at PDX and not having to worry about the man, right? But that's changed now under our legalization law, because there is a specific Class B misdemeanor for the exportation of Oregon weed for no consideration. It's Class A if you do it for consideration. So if you're trying to make money at it, you're really busted. But the Class B misdemeanor is still pretty serious. I mean, you don't want it. And you could get that trying to fly out with weed on you now. So something to think about. Now, that, again, doesn't apply to medical marijuana patients. Apparently, that is still not going to be a problem, I suppose. Now, the other poster they've got, the poisoning prevention one. Now, this is to, I hate that they use the term poisoning, because what we're talking about is accidental ingestion. Just like marijuana cannot intoxicate because it's not toxic, marijuana cannot poison because it's not poison. So that's my problem with the poster right there, is it's poison control center, call the poison center hotline, blah, blah, blah. And anytime we're putting this in the context of the word poison, you're going to scare parents into thinking death is a possibility. And it's not. The poster, it says, keep it out of reach. Marijuana can make children very sick. You can keep the kids in your life safe and healthy by storing all marijuana in a locked area that children cannot reach. Okay, I'm fine with that. The text so far is perfect. Although I don't know about very sick. Sick would be enough, but okay. But then the banned line at the bottom, if your child eats or drinks marijuana products, call the Poison Center hotline as soon as possible. And then the phone number, 800-222-1222. Call is free and you'll be helped quickly. If symptoms seem bad, call 911 or go to an emergency room right away. Symptoms can include your child having trouble walking or sitting up, starting to be sleepy, or having a hard time breathing. Oregon Health Authority. Okay, so that's bad, but not bad. I mean, we've got to put something up, you know, what about the children? We got to understand that is a serious concern among a lot of people. So I see why it's there. Then we got the next poster, which is the pregnancy poster. And it gets a little weirder on me here. Don't pass it on, it says in large letters. And then the subhead, you can keep your child safe and healthy by not using marijuana while you are pregnant or breastfeeding. When you're pregnant, it may harm your baby if you use marijuana in any form and at any time during your pregnancy. This includes smoking, eating, and vaping marijuana. There is no known safe amount of marijuana use during pregnancy. If you're breastfeeding, the THC in marijuana can get into breast milk and may harm your baby, boldface. THC is another name for tetrahydrocannabinol, parentheses THC, parentheses, which makes this a redundant as hell sentence. The chemical in marijuana that makes you feel high. Talk to your doctor if you're pregnant or thinking of becoming pregnant, or if you're breastfeeding and you need help to stop using marijuana. If you're using marijuana as a medicine and want to talk about choices that do not risk harming your baby, period, that's a sentence fragment. If you're using marijuana as a medicine and want to talk about choices that do not risk harming your baby, yes, go on. Wow. Whoever's doing the copywriting at the Oregon Health Authority needs some help. It concludes with, if your child eats or drinks marijuana products, call the Poison Center hotline as soon as possible. Okay, so we got the THC as another name for tetrahydrocannabinol, parentheses, THC, parentheses. And we've got the, if you're using marijuana as medicine, sentence fragment. That's good stuff. But the two bold-faced ones, it may harm your baby. We have not seen any consistent, reliable data to say it may harm your baby. The latest study that just came out showed that the baby may be smaller than expected, than usual, but had no problems otherwise, as far as they could tell, for outcomes of these babies, of these fetuses and then eventual babies. It's not been shown. And if there were a severe problem with pregnancy, breastfeeding, and marijuana, I mean, my God, the Rastafarians would have died out by now, wouldn't they? This is just, I don't understand this. And the idea that it may make a baby smaller at birth may not be a bad thing, considering how big we're becoming as a species. Maybe this is nature's way of trying to help a little. All right. But the worst to me is the card that they're going to be handing out. With every purchase you make, they're going to give you this card. It's got a front and a back to it. The front part's got the, it may harm your baby if you use marijuana in any form and at any time during your pregnancy or while you're breastfeeding. If your child eats or drinks marijuana products, call the Poison Center hotline, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Same thing we saw in the previous one. But the other side adds something. It's the same line from the, you know, what about the children? Marijuana can make kids very sick. You can keep the children in your life safe and healthy by storing all marijuana products in a locked area that children cannot see or reach. But then this next part. Children want to be like their parents and the other adults in their lives. When you use marijuana in front of them, they may want to use it too. You can keep them safe and healthy by not using marijuana when kids are around. Okay. So now the Oregon Health Authority wants to dictate to me in this little flyer that's going to come with every one of my recreational purchases how I should parent, that is a bad idea for my kids to see me. Now, again, fictional, hypothetical kids. To see me using marijuana? Is this a regular pronouncement from the Oregon Health Authority when it comes to people's drinking habits? Does the Oregon Health Authority require that when I buy a six-pack of Budweiser, God forbid I ever do, that I get handed a card from the clerk that warns me that if my kids see me drinking Budweiser, they may think less of me, especially considering it's Portland and I should be drinking something much better than that? No, that's not what happens. Oh, I see. Does the Oregon Health Authority require that the vendors of tobacco products, cigarettes, cigars, and the like hand a card out with that says, as a parent, you shouldn't let your kids see you smoking? No? Oh, I see. So it's just for us, huh? Just for us potheads. All right, we'll let you have your filthy habit, but by God, don't let your kids get into it and don't let them see you doing it and don't do it in public, for God's sake. Filthy stoners. That's the message I get from this. When I use marijuana in front of the kids, is my own damn business in my own damn house. And there's nothing to say that using it in front of them might not actually be something that turns them off of marijuana. Oh God, Dad's smoking his pot again. Stupid 70s pot. I don't know. This card, I got a problem with this card. I don't like the idea of the government telling us that the mere sight of us is something that's harmful to children. Nope, I don't like that at all. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us here. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, we will be actually at 7 in the morning. I'm going to be on KEX radio locally. So I'll be up real early talking about marijuana legalization. Got a spot on X-Ray at 12:30 as well. For everyone here at Rolla J, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.